Hello, and welcome to This Week at Charlestown Road, a branch of the Heaven Bound podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schaus. This is where we reflect on the weekend that was. We dig a little deeper into a recent sermon to give you something to think about as this week unfolds, but also preview what's to come this next weekend at Charlestown Road. Roger, here in the middle of the week, we want to talk prayer.
Yeah, you had a great lesson on Sunday. The title was Jesus's Invitation and Our Opportunity to Pray. And prayer is something that is just all over the Bible, Old Testament through the New Testament. We've got these passages like 1 Thessalonians that reminds us to pray without ceasing. Every key spiritual person in the Bible, no exception, was a person of prayer. David, Nehemiah, Moses, Joshua. I mean, we just run through that list. The Apostle Paul,
and Esther, and Mary,
Jesus himself. They were all people of prayer. And prayer is necessary for relationship. You know, if the only times your kids ever talk to you is when they wanted something, then that's how it is in some homes. The only time my kid talks to me is when he wants something. Other than that, he never talks to me. That'd be a one-sided, lopsided, selfish relationship. And so as we talk about prayer, we want to go back and revisit the highlights of Jason's sermon, but then we want to talk about some more things with prayer in this podcast today. Prayer is something a lot of us struggle with, and a lot of us just don't feel good about our prayer life, and we'll talk about that here today. But let's go back and kind of revisit this lesson, Jason. Great lesson. It's on our website. We encourage you, if you haven't watched it or listened to it, go back. It's one of those lessons you can go back to over and over because you just kind of need that reminder. Oh, yeah, I like that hymn. Did you think to pray? And the answer usually is no, I forgot.
Yeah. I needed the reminder. I know that. And I trust that it was helpful by God's grace for others as well. I appreciate the kind words. Yeah, I treated Sunday morning as a kind of call to pray. I shared just personally that I think the last 18 months, if I were going to try and use just one word to describe it, the word that I would use is heavy. We live in a heavy world right now, a heavy nation, a heavy community. Our church family has heavy needs. Many of us individually have very heavy needs. And what are we going to do with that heaviness? The world around us copes in a variety of different ways. Some run. Some walk away from their families, they leave their marriages behind, and they just trade in a life they're not happy with for a life that they think will be better. Some sink. They just try and escape in a variety of different ways. I'm going to drink whatever I've got to drink, or smoke whatever I've got to smoke, or inject whatever I've got to inject, to try and deal with the heaviness of what's going on around me. Some take their frustrations and their disappointments, their anxieties, and they weaponize them and lash out against the people that are around them. Some stop spiritually. They stop following Jesus. They stop walking by the Spirit. They stop serving as a member of Christ's body. There are a wide variety of responses when life is heavy. But I tried to show that the Bible answer to that, first and foremost, is to pray. And that this is, first of all, Jesus's invitation to us. Going through heavy times, distressing times, that's not a disqualification from following Jesus or praying in his name. In fact, that's an opportunity. He invites us in Matthew 11, the heavy laden, to come to him. And prayer is that opportunity that we have to express what is on our hearts to the infinite mind of God, a God who hears. And Jesus is inviting us to pray in his name, the one who holds all things together. By his name, the access that he's opened up for us, we can draw near to this throne of grace, even when we don't know what to pray for. We might be in Romans 8 in a moment. The Spirit himself intercedes for us. Really, this is an opportunity to acknowledge we don't have all of the answers. We don't have it all together, but we know the one who does. And he is the one who is inviting us. And what we find if we take him at his word and give our whole hearts to this is, come what may, his grace is sufficient.
And so you mapped out for us this great little challenge, 7 days of prayer. And you kind of laid this out for us, and you can get this on our website, Sunday to pray for your own heart. Monday, to pray for the sick within our church family. On Tuesday, to pray for our world. On Wednesday, to pray for our shepherds. On Thursday, to pray for our community. On Friday, to pray for the future of our church. And on Saturday, to pray for our enemies. Great, great pattern to follow. You could follow that up with the very next week by just filling in some other things you could think about. Praying for your family. Praying for the future of your children or your grandchildren. Praying for the faithfulness of a congregation. There's just layers and layers of things to pray. I'm reminded of Luke 18, verse 1, Jesus was telling them a parable to show that all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. That little expression, we ought to pray. When I'm with Christians and we are honest and talking about our spiritual life, our journey with God, and when I ask them, what do you feel like you need to improve upon? What are you not happy about in your spiritual life? Number one answer all the time is, I don't like the way I pray. I don't pray enough. I don't think my prayer's deep enough. I don't know what to pray about. And I find just across the board, we struggle with our prayer life. Why?
Yeah, boy, if you could answer that in just a few words, that would be a wonderful tip and encouragement to a lot of us. I very much know what it is to feel that inadequacy and that frustration. How long have I been walking with Jesus, and why is prayer still such a challenge? I would just offer a couple of things, and maybe this is a conversation starter. Maybe you, if you're a member of our church family, would like to dive into this in more detail. But my knee-jerk reaction to that important question, number one, some of us are just leaning on what happens in the church building. And I know that that's true because that's been me in the past. And I've talked with brothers and sisters who do a lot of good for a lot of people, but will acknowledge at times, I went an entire week and the only time I prayed was when someone else was leading me in the church building. And if that's you, that is like a God-given spiritual muscle that you're not working, you're not stretching, you're not exercising throughout the week. It makes me think of Luke chapter 11 and verse 1, when Luke tells us that Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." We have to be taught to pray. And I love the heart behind this disciple's request. I don't, Jesus, just want to hear you pray. I don't just want to watch you pray. I want to learn to do that as well. And so what happens in the church building is valuable. We're learning, right? What happens around our kitchen tables with our children, if you're a parent, is valuable. You're teaching them. But we've got to make this a personal habit, a personal assignment.
I think in that Luke 11 passage, what's interesting is to get the little backstory behind that. And the disciples here, these were not pagans who, you know, I've always prayed to a rock or I've never prayed in my life. They had grown up Jewish. Mm-hmm. There had been prayers in the synagogues every time they went. There were prayers in the temple every time they went. Their household on Sabbath days would have been prayers. They had grown up with prayer, but they had never seen someone pray like Jesus. And what he prayed was powerful. And so part of this getting out of this church building mode is to think. think about God, think spiritually. One of the things that helps me is sometimes just to drive with that radio off. And so many of us are in a culture and times where we wake up with the radio, we go to sleep with the radio on, we have music around us and noise around us all the time. Purposely just have some silence and put your mind upon God.
Yeah, I think that is a powerful reason as to why many of us struggle with prayer. We don't like to be alone with our own thoughts. And so we try and drown that out, right? There's constantly noise because when it is quiet and it is just me and my own thoughts, maybe I don't really like what is going on there. Now, perhaps that is something that needs some very serious self-evaluation, right? Are there issues of conscience there? Are there things that I'm leaving undone that I know I ought to apply myself to? But again, if we follow Jesus' lead, even in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 5 and verse 16, such a powerful little detail where Luke tells us Jesus would withdraw to desolate places and pray. It's not that he did this one time, and Luke is capturing that for us. He's describing what Jesus would do. This was a pattern of behavior. He would withdraw. Get away from the noise, right? And maybe that doesn't have anything to do with me going miles and miles and miles away. But like you said, Roger, just turning down the volume in the car, turning off the television, setting my cell phone in a different room, in a drawer, closing that drawer and walking away, telling me I'm not going to log on to Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, whatever it is, until I have devoted this time to prayer. Jesus would withdraw to desolate places and pray.
And it may be nothing more than just sitting on your deck after supper. And, you know, at first, your thoughts are probably swirling around all the things you got to get done. Here's this, here's this, here's this. But then stretch them. Get them spiritual. Get them looking at trees. Get them looking at the God who made trees. Get them looking at the sky. Get them looking at today. Get them looking at eternity. And what you're starting to do is you're starting to expand that mind to think about God who's in your life and how important he is. And that's a powerful thing to do. And you start doing this and you start making it a habit. Just as you have a dentist appointment, just as I got to get the dog to the vet, I've got to do this. You just make an appointment with you and God. And whether it's, you know, some of us are morning people, some of us are night people, find your time, but you set aside some time just to sit, to meditate, and then to be thanking of God and be thankful for God. Now, go ahead, Jason.
Well, I was just going to say, if we dig maybe a little deeper, one other thing that I would offer, you know, some of us, okay, we're just relying on what's going on in the church building. There's a lackadaisical approach to prayer there, or I don't like to be alone with my thoughts. Okay, so that's I'm maybe even just addicted to noise, but I'd offer one other thing maybe to think about as far as why we struggle along these lines. We live in a culture that constantly tells us, you can do this. You don't have to feel weak. You're not weak. You don't have to ask for help. And maybe prayer is a reminder of how much I am in desperate need, how much help I need. I referenced that we might read a little bit in Romans chapter 8. We did that on Sunday morning. In Romans 8 verse 26, Paul says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. Or 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we've got the weakness of Paul when he is struggling with this thorn in the flesh, and he prays and he prays and he prays about this, and it is in the process of that praying that he discovers perhaps all over again that God's grace is sufficient. In fact, God communicates to him, my power is made perfect in weakness. Now, a lot of us, we don't like to feel weak. We like the idea of a you can do it, pull yourself up by your bootstraps sort of mentality. But I want you to listen to what this opened up in the heart and the mind of Paul. He says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That's a phrase worth thinking about today, that if I buy into this you can do it mentality, I'm probably not experiencing the potential power of Christ that is available if I would humble myself, realize that when I am weak, okay, now the power of Christ is available, willing to rest upon me, willing to make me strong so that in weaknesses and insults and hardships, persecutions, calamities, whatever it is, when we are willing to be honest with God about how desperate we are, a whole new world of possibilities opens up. And the access point of that so often is prayer.
And it's really a flawed system to think that we can do it within ourselves. We cannot take care of our sins. We cannot. We cannot be good enough. We cannot do enough. We need God. And I think one of the backgrounds that we have to understand about all this is you're not just talking out loud. You're just not talking through problems. You're talking to a person. You're talking to God. So there's a belief system in there, a belief system that there is a God. He is listening to me. He cares about me, and he can do something. And that makes the difference between just talking and talking to someone, which we have to appreciate.
Yeah, I love how Paul in Romans chapter 10 and verse 1 connects his heart's desire to prayer to God. It's not just my heart's desire, what am I going to do with that? It's not even my heart's desire and thinking religious thoughts, but it's prayer to the God who hears.
Now, another question that we need to ask, because the subject of prayer is so big and there's so much to talk about, and we may just have to put some of this on Friday someday.
Sure.
Down the road here. But, you know, it's easy to pray when there's trouble. Mama's in the hospital, lost my job, things aren't going well in my life. I have needs and I have concerns and there are worries, and so I'll reach out to God. That's when a lot of people pray, is when there's problems. But what about when things are going well in my life? Mama's not in the hospital. My job is great. Everything's going well in my life. Everything's just where they're supposed to be. And sometimes it's those periods of our lives, those seasons, when we forget to pray because I don't need God right now, we think, and things are going well.
It makes me think of a 1 Thessalonians 5 sort of lifestyle. And I'm being intentional with that last word, lifestyle. 1 Corinthians 5 verse 18 tells us that there are certain things that are the will of God in Christ Jesus for us. And anytime we've got such a straightforward communication from our Creator and Father in heaven, we ought to perk up and pay attention. So what does he have in mind? Here are three of them that precede that. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. That's the language of a lifestyle. Always, without ceasing, in all circumstances, I'm going to give thanks to God. He deserves my thanks every single day. That involves being intentional, having my eyes open, my heart aware to how everything around me is a blessing that I do not deserve from him. And so I'm going to give thanks. I'm not going to wait till late November to give thanks to God. I'm going to pray, and I'm not going to stop praying. Pray without ceasing. It's just going to be a part of who I am, my lifestyle as a disciple. And I would argue that what that opens up, if you combine in the bowl of your heart, if you will, the ingredients of giving thanks and praying to God, what you get when those things merged together is joy. Joy in the Lord. Joy that you can carry with you always.
And the opposite of that is, and we've heard people use these illustrations in sermons, viewing God and viewing prayer like a spare tire. Most of us don't even think about a spare tire or even look at it until there's a flat. Looking at God like a Band-Aid. The only time I go to a Band-Aid is if I got a cut. Using God as medicine. The only time I go to get medicine is when I'm sick. But when I don't need a spare tire, I don't need my Band-Aid, I don't need medicine, I don't think about God. That's a troublesome place to be. The lifestyle of always putting God in my mind every day, whether it's a good day or bad day, whether things are up, things are down, sunny or it's rainy, it doesn't matter. I'm mindful of God. That's going to put me in the mode of prayer, and that will make all the difference in my walk with Jesus. And so those are some of the things that we need to keep before us as we think about this. Powerful lesson. I encourage you to go back. I encourage you to follow this little pattern that we've laid out, 7 days of prayer. And when we get to Saturday, don't stop it. Keep it going. There's still wonderful, wonderful things that you can reach out to and pray and you need in your life. These are some good things to keep before us.
Appreciate that very much. We've got the opportunity, of course, to continue this evening to grow in our love for God and our appreciation for what He's done in our lives. We're looking forward to having Brother Mark Roberts from Irving, Texas with us this evening. It is the next to last lesson in our Wednesday evening summer series, How Firm a Foundation. We've got just a rich library from this summer that you can go back and you can access, watch, re-listen to, whatever it is. We're looking forward tonight, 7 o'clock p.m., to having Brother Roberts with us. Roger, Lord willing, this Sunday, what do you have lined up for us?
We're going to talk about the expression shields up. That's actually found in the Bible, but you know, there are so many slogans today in marketing and buying and commercials that just grab our attention. And one of the things that Paul says to Timothy over and over is to guard. Guard what's been entrusted to you. And I think if Paul was working for a marketing firm, he would use that phrase, shields up. And so we're going to talk about this idea of guarding what's been entrusted to you, what all that means for us. Hope you can come and be with us.
Lord willing, at 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday, we're going to draw these 7 days of prayer to a kind of conclusion. Roger, as you mentioned, we hope to continue to pray days and days after that. But we're going to devote 5 o'clock on Sunday evening to singing songs about prayer and some very specific prayers led by brothers right here in our own church family. And so our prayer is that you would continue to be devoted to prayer over the course of the next few days, and then let's gather together as a church family on Sunday evening and put a bow of prayer on top of all of that. We have so much to be thankful for, so many things to recognize as very real blessings from our Father in heaven. And we hope even that our time together today in this little episode is a blessing to you. Roger, thanks for joining me. Thanks to all of you for continuing to listen to This Week at Charlestown Road. We would love to see you tonight at 7 o'clock p.m. We're already looking forward to Sunday, the best day of the week. We would love to have you come and continue to grow with us.